Sky Sports Radio. It's time for Going Greyhounds. With all the news from kennels and courses around the country, here's Mark Duclos.
And at 26 to 10, doing his best Mark Duclos impersonation is Timmy Yebel. Good morning, Tim.
Yeah, good morning, Sean Cosgrave. I think Mark Duclos is enjoying the Queensland sun. He was at Albion Park on Thursday night for the Group 1 Winter Cup, and he'll be at Grafton this coming Wednesday night for the big night at Grafton, the Sprinters' Cup and the Taylor Family Maiden Final, highlighting the card at Grafton. So Duke is having a few weeks off and he's enjoying greyhound racing at its finest.
Good luck to him. Now, confirm those numbers, Manawa 2, the winner 1, Weeping Wawa, 8.31.70, 7 double entendre, 120. Now, 4 got 3rd, P.A. Pringles, $2, just ahead of 9, Consummate East, so 1.7 and 4 official there. The Fernando Bale juggernaut just continues on, Tim.
15 straight wins. He's won over $681,000 in prize money. 4 Group 1s, a Group 2, a Group 3 on the resume now. He was outstanding on Friday night, winning the Bendigo Cup after breaking the track record a few nights earlier on the Sunday night. And Troy Harley is joining us online. Cozzy, Troy is the boss of the Bendigo Greyhound Club. And Troy, first of all, you've been in greyhound racing all of your life. He'd be up there as one of the greatest you've seen in the flesh.
Yeah, certainly is, Timmy. I've been asked that question a few times over the last couple of weeks, and the first greyhound that sort of I put myself up in my mind up there was Brother Fox in the mid-80s. He was an absolute superstar and probably had very similar traits to this greyhound. And then, of course, the mighty Brett Lee, and on par with very similar records at the moment, is Fernando Bar with Brett Lee. And the only thing that was missing to date off his resume was a track record, and he got that last Sunday, and he actually also broke the previous record again in the final, just 200 slower than his own track record 5 days earlier.
Yeah, breaking Black Magic Opal's record, did you think it'd be broken so soon? Like, he was a flying machine, and you've had Earl Grand Senior and a number of other very quick greyhounds go around at Bendigo over the past few years. Were you surprised it was broken?
The original record was actually set by Gregorio Verbale, who obviously, of course, went on to win an Easter Egg. And Black Magic Opal had that high-speed U-turn speed. But I suppose when you look at the sections that Fernando Bale had been running at Sandown and the Meadows compared to the Black Magic Opals, it was no surprise to see the record broken. Maybe a touch of a surprise to see it happen in a 3-degree night in July as opposed to the beautiful 25 degrees in Easter when the other records were broken. But the dog's just an out-and-out freak and nothing surprises.
I wanted to actually get a club's perspective of what he means to the game. He could have headed up to the Group 1 Winter Cup in Brisbane, but luckily for you, he headed to Bendigo. So as far as a club is concerned, what did it mean having Fernando Bale trackside financially and the like?
It means everything, really. I mean, you often get these greyhounds on their way up in maidens or restricted win series is coming, but it's very rare to get these superstars in the peak of their powers at country clubs. As a matter of fact, there's probably been one or two over the last 20 years that do it. They often, later in their careers, might head to the tracks to break a couple of track records before they go to stud, as Brett Lee did. But it's pretty rare to have. And last Sunday, our heat crowd was basically the equivalent to the final crowd. So we sort of got a double dip as far as those who attended. And we had a big horse meeting on the Moss Trooper Day. It was on the Sunday. And quite a few of the horse people turned up and came across to see Fernando Bale. Because if you're into racing, it doesn't matter what code it is. If the superstars are there in your hometown, you turn up. And it was definitely a bonus for us as far as attendances and financially goes to have Fernando Bale there. And actually, we contacted Paul Wheeler and the Daily Camp leading up to the race to thank them for bringing the greyhound there. And certainly no disrespect to the rest of them, but he was obviously the pin-up.
As a club administrator and in the current climate, he's clearly the most marketable thing in greyhound racing. There was a big crowd at Wentworth Park a few weeks ago for the Peter Mossman. He'll continue to bring the crowd's trackside in his current form, and when he does continue to race, I believe Paul Wheeler has said he should race until the end of the year, taking in the Melbourne Cup and a number of feature races all around the country.
Yeah, well, I think he heads the maturity now at the Meadows this weekend, and then obviously into the Nationals at some stage. Whether he goes on the country cups like Geelong Cup and Ballarat Cup, there's wait to be seen, but obviously the Melbourne Cup at 450 to the winner is certainly the clincher as far as his career goes, and you know, won't surprise to see him win over $1 million in prize money, which would just be quite remarkable for the industry.
Troy, it's Sean Cosgrove here. I saw a comment from Terry Reid, one of the Reid family. They've been involved in greyhounds for 50-plus years. And Terry had Ron Ray Spurrett. He said, "I've had a lifetime in greyhounds. I've never, ever seen a greyhound like him. He's just a freak." Did you hear those sort of comments all round the track the other night?
Yeah, we did. And what's amazing is that those competing against him acknowledge that freak factor. Kel Greeno had two runners in, and he basically said that he was obviously competing for minor prize money, and he pretty much said it was the same as what we did. It was terrific to see these greyhounds at the peak of their powers, and obviously he's had a couple of himself and Paul Licking and the like go to the country tracks, and even guys like Jason Thompson talked to him after Black Magic Opal's track record was lowered. You know, they were happy to be there to watch greyhounds like that race, and it's great to see other trainers taking their hat off to greyhounds that they're not training themselves.
Troy, for the first time this year, the Bendigo Cup was repositioned away from Easter time to the first week of July. After going through the heat fields, it appeared to be a masterstroke.
Yeah, mate, we actually ran two cups last year. We ran one at Easter and then ran the first weekend in July last year. And no disrespect to the old Bendigo track, it probably wasn't as appealing as what the new one is. And we sort of thought that Easter had built itself up through previous administrations quite successful. It didn't need the cup to have the crowds that it has. Bendigo's has a big Easter festival in town, and we draw a crowd regardless. We focus on a staying race and a maiden race at Easter. And from a pure racing perspective, to give the track and the 425 distance the best possible grounds, the first week in July was a nice little fit. And last year, Warrior King won the July Cup after running third in the Easter Egg. And I think this year's heats had five Easter Egg finalists go through the heats, and two of those made the finals with Fernando Bale and Ronre Spirit. So as far as the race goes, the move was quite successful, and we're looking forward to continuing that in the future.
You did clash with the Winter Cup in Brisbane. I'm sure your Queensland counterparts wouldn't have been all that happy with the repositioning.
Yeah, there was some discussions about that in the past. Of course, we're 100 metres shorter and half the prize money and two border crosses away. And I suppose in the past there's been Traralgon Cup, a similar distance and a similar track has been in that place, and it wasn't much of an issue. And we had a few discussions about it, but as it turned out, the grounds last year and this year that you expected to go up went up. Obviously, Dinah Double One wanting to keep away from Fernando Bale and trying to win group races themselves, and the Queenslanders themselves had the Flash Realities and the Kibos. They're outstanding grounds. So I think it is two different types of dog. I guess one thing that Brisbane would lose on occasion is the ground that wants a little bit of a freshen up and head into the maturity in the spring after a pretty hectic autumn and Easter. But I think both races have been very successful at high quality fields and will continue to be so.
Troy, we had to move this interview a little forward today. You have got a meeting in the next 20 or so minutes, so I better let you get rolling. Thanks for joining us on Going Greyhounds.
No worries, mate. Yeah, looking forward to a morning at Disney on Ice.
That's what I've got to look forward to, Cozzy.
Hey, Troy, can you get a bet on? Who's the quickest? Who handles the ice the best?
I haven't had a chance to do the form, but we'll see what we can do.
Right. Back Sleeping Beauty, I reckon she's a good thing. Good on you, Troy. Enjoy the day.
Thanks, mate.
Here we go, school holiday. See, this is what you'll be doing down the track?
Yes.
You'll be doing this?
A few years to get to that stage at the moment. I'm more worried about changing nappies right at the present time, Cozzy. I'm really enjoying that, I can assure you.
One of the highlights of your career. at least you're having a crack at it. That's the main thing.
Yes. Now, just quickly on Fernando Bale and Dinah Double One. We did mention those two greyhounds. I spoke to George Daly earlier today. He has confirmed both greyhounds are heading to the Group 1 Maturity Classic at the Meadows on Saturday night. So that is great for greyhound racing. We get to see the champ go around again on Saturday night.
Yep, absolutely fantastic. Now, your next guest here in a moment too.
Joining us online is Dennis Barnes. Now, Dennis is a... Dennis has done it all in greyhound racing and continues to do it all. He's a breeder, he's an owner, greyhound educator and trainer. And Dennis is enjoying the Grafton sun at the moment. Welcome to Going Greyhounds, Dennis.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, you're currently in Grafton for the carnival. First of all, how long have you and your wife, Anne, attended the carnival? And what gets you back each and every year?
Mate, we've been coming here with the whole family for around 30 years, on and off. Haven't been every year, but we get here as often as we can. And the thing that brings us here is obviously the sun. The racing is great. It's a great track. The committee can't do enough for you. And the racing is good.
Where do you stay for the duration of the carnival? Do you to stay on track? I know there are facilities to stay on track or at a nearby property.
Mate, we used to stay at different locations around Grafton. I've got relatives that live here. But as the dog numbers grew that we bought each year, we've been staying here the track the last 4 or 5 years. And it's perfect for the dogs. The dogs love it. They love the sun. Time you go home, they're different dogs. They just grow, they mature.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Obviously, you and the family enjoy the Grafton Sun, and it would work wonders for the greyhounds. Have you found that the trip and the new surrounds for young greyhounds really is a making of a good greyhound?
Look, I do. We find that the time we go home from here, because the dogs are, you know, out in the sun, you know, half a dozen times every day here. At home, they'd be in the kennel with a rug on. I think the difference is yesterday was around 8 or 9 degrees. The tops at home is 22 degrees here. And the time you go home, they're just thriving. They're just blooming, the dogs.
Dennis, it's Sean Cosgrove here. How many Ks do you actually drive from home to go to Grafton?
Look, a lot of people travel, not only me. There's some Victorians here where they travel twice as far as I do, about 760 Ks.
How many stops would you make in that time? I suppose it varies with the weather too, wouldn't it?
It does, but we pull up half a dozen times and get the dogs out and give them a drink and an empty.
Yeah. And do you find most of them travel well?
Well, you try to pick out your dogs before you leave to bring the ones you think will settle in good here.
Dennis, you were last year's trainer of the carnival. How's it shaping this year? How many dogs did you take up there?
We bought 7.
How many winners?
We had 3.
3 winners. Now, two of those
seconds.
3 winners were last Monday night. Now, you produced 6 greyhounds in the Taylor Family Maiden Heats, which is the feature race of the entire carnival, and Nangar Star won in 23.06 and Nangar Tiger in 23.22. First of all, Nangar Star, he looks to be one of the most promising in the kennel. He trialled brilliantly before winning at Goulburn.
I
should say.
Yeah, he did. He's a very fast little dog. He's got a good box speed early. The only trouble with him on Wednesday night, I think he's drawn on the wrong side of the track. I think he'll come across. I'd like to think he'd go straight. If he did go straight, I think we'd be right in it with a big chance. But I'm just worried that he's going to come across and actually take my other dog out. He's right beside him.
Yeah, Nangar Tiger's in box 7, Nangar Star in box 8. Now, Nangar Star, he clocked 8.38 first section. Is that quick enough to get across and lead? Or
he'd have to jump cleanly, but I think he'd still got to go straight to get across.
Now, he's by Collision out of Flash Fancy. This is a repeat mating from about 8 years ago, and that litter produced...
Right.
Group 1 winner Smooth Fancy and Swift Fancy, I think between them they won 30 or 40 races.
Yeah,
he's got a long way to go to reach their heights,
but
he certainly looks well above average.
Yeah, he'd be a handy little dog, I think, when he matures properly.
What about Nangar Tiger? He's by Kinloch Bray out of Fancy Penny. He's drawn inside Nangar Star in the 7 Alley. He does look well drawn wider out, just looking at that first run, but he hasn't got a great deal of early dash, but he does look very strong at the end.
Yeah, look, surprisingly, he's 2 trials here. He trialled both times, 23.37. He did improve a little bit on the clock, around 23.22, but before we came up here, we thought he was our main chance, that dog. He was flying down around the tracks down home. So we're just hoping he can prove a little bit more on Wednesday.
He'll be better suited when he does get up to beyond 500 metres?
Oh, yes. He definitely had a real strong 500. The mother was a stayer.
Of the Beedon Brigade in the heats, which one should we be on the lookout for? Nangar Fox goes around in race 1 tonight at Grafton.
Yeah, look, I think he'd be better off on the inside as well. He showed good candy form before we come up. Without being a superstar.
Talking of tonight, now you've got another progressive pup in the kennel, Nangar Flash. He's undefeated in 2 runs at Wentworth Park, where he won the big maiden there and he smashed 30 seconds. He's by Collision out of Flash Fancy. He's beautifully bred as well. Now, he could really be one out of the box. He goes around in race 7 tonight.
When we bring the dogs, it doesn't matter who they are, we still like to race them here because we all enjoy it. It's a real family holiday, so we bring them to race. I do. We have got real big, high expectations for that dog.
After tonight, have you got any feature races mapped out for him?
No, we just take it as it comes. I think the more you try and map out a race, things seem to go wrong.
And he's always shown above average ability, even at the educating stage?
Broke in enormous, he did, yes.
Now, for years, you've used the name Fancy in all the naming of your greyhounds. You're getting away from that now. Nengar, now, where does that come from?
Well, Nengar's a mountain range or state forest range out the back of Kidal. And the reason we did change was, of course, of the stud dogs, Fancy Dreams, with Fancy, Smooth Fancy. A lot of the people are naming their pups now, the Fancy this, Fancy that. And I did the wrong thing years ago. I should have bought the prefix, but when we applied, there was too many dogs running around, so we decided to change it for that reason.
And just quickly, Dennis, who would be the best greyhound who carried the Fancy name?
Oh, dear. You know, there's nothing wrong with Smooth Fancy and Swift Fancy. Well, Fancy Dean was a good dog. Very hard to say. Fancy Liza was a good bitch.
Some very talented greyhounds. Well, no doubt you dream of finding another one as good as those greyhounds. And Nengar Flash, who goes around tonight, he could well be that greyhound or one of the maidens which go around in the big final at Grafton on Wednesday night. Good luck tonight, Dennis, and on Wednesday night.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Good on you, Dennis. And Tim, now they're almost set here, the third of Manawa 2. We've got 3, 4, and 7 out. Favourite 8, Boston Thunder, $1.60.
Traps race 3, JP Print, Petone Class 1 Sprint. Hot favourites, the 8, Boston Thunder. Nominal Lily off the inside. Runs for Gas. Where's Green and White goes box 3. Followed up there by Goldstone and Otto Baxter. Second line is Fair Trading. Box 4 is vacant. Corborne Shadow, the Green, Boston Thunder, the outside. Let's see how he steps. Buddy to the box is ready. Racing. Boston Thunder slow to go. Sticks to the outside. Good line of them into the first bend. Bundora and Ladd. Boston Thunder up and around the outside. Corborne Shadow finds the rail, then runs for Gas. Goldstone around the outside. Back in the pack here, we've got Nominal Lily Fair Trading. Boston Thunder found the lead by 2. Corborne Shadow gives chase, then Bundora and Ladd. Goldstone runs for Gas. Down comes Boston Thunder. We'll pick up the win here. Bold run, Bundora and Ladd second. Corborne Shadow third, then runs for Gas fourth. Goldstone next in. Last pair, Nominal Lily and Fear Traden.
8.10.6 over the line there. Number 8, Boston Thunder, $2 and $2.20. 10 Bundura and Land, $3.90. And number 6, Corborne Shadow, there'll be no third dividend. 8, 10 and 6 over the lines on the third at Manawa 2 at 9 to 11. Tim?
And joining us now, Cozzy, is the regular host of Going Greyhounds, Mark Duclos. Morning, Duke.
Morning, Timmy.
Gee, you really have a good job. You're in Brisbane covering the Winter Cup on Thursday night. You'll be at Grafton this coming Wednesday night. You really do get all the good gigs.
I do, and I'm kicking back just to Cabarita Beach this morning. It's about 23 degrees, sun shining, blue sky, whales out in the ocean. I got out, there was one left in there.
So. Now, in the Fair Dinkum department, Grafton is truly one of the great Greyhound Country Carnival, 6 meetings in a fortnight, and it all culminates on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it certainly does. And look, there's people that come from all around Australia, and they have been doing so for a number of years. And as you said to me, it's one of the great greyhound racing carnivals. We used to see a lot of these in the old days, where, you know, trainers would rock up to a track, a country venue generally, with, you know, a team of 8 or 10 dogs and a trailer and a caravan or something like that, or they camp at the track. And Grafton has continued that tradition. The big difference now is the amount of money that's on offer. And Wednesday night, of course, we've got the maiden final, the Taylor Family Classic maiden final, $14,000 to the winner. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and it is a ripping final. Going through all of the heats, they're all young greyhounds just coming through. But we just spoke to Dennis Barnes. Nengar Tiger and Nengar Star were both very impressive. Evelyn Harris has Miss Sprightly, who clocked 22.98, setting the benchmark. That greyhound has come up with the inside alley and does look the one to beat.
Certainly does. I was really impressed with Dennis's greyhound, Nengar Star, from box 2. It ran 23.06, but it did run 8.38 to the first turn, and Nengar Tiger, the kennel mate's drawn inside it. Of course, Nengar Star is a little mate to Nengar Flash, which is the greyhound that won the maiden at Wentworth Park a couple of weeks ago by collision out of Flash Fancy. I just think there's a fair bit of improvement off box 8 for it from 23.06 and that 8.38 first mark, and just looking at Miss Brightly, I'm not sure whether Miss Brightly absolutely wants the inside. I know it's run the quickest at 22.98, but realistically, there's only a length between the greyhounds drawn in boxes 1 and 8. And, look, if Miss Brightly doesn't begin well, I can probably just see it striking a little bit of trouble in the early stages.
I was going to touch on that. She will more than likely start favourite from that inside alley. Box 1 at Grafton can be a little tricky if you don't begin cleanly, because they do seem in the middle boxes to come down hard after about 30 or 40 metres.
Yeah, just the way the track is, the camber of the track looks a big one-turn type of track in that, but particularly from that 400-metre start, the 407-metre start, you need to begin off the inside. I know that a lot of people say you'd never give up a red box in a big final. Well, we saw it with Pop the Cork on Thursday night. It brought him undone as well, but just they do need to step off the inside there at Grafton. If they do that, it actually gives them a bit of a fly. If they don't, it puts them in at a bit of trouble, and that's why I just thought Nengar Star coming down, carving down off the outside. Nengar Tiger, the kennel mate, should give it a good run across, and if Nengar Star can repeat that 8.38 run to the first turn, I think it's going to be really tough to beat.
Now, one of the co-features on Wednesday night, the Sprinters Cup, four heats were run last Wednesday night. It does appear to be fairly open. Minson Machine set the benchmark at 22.84. Charlie Sprite won in 23.22. Sudoku Rebel 22.98 and City Breeze 23.23. He's been a good money spinner for Connection Minson Machine. The box draw hasn't been conducted today, but that'll be out earlier or later today.
Yep, $7,000 going to the winner of this. And as you said, Minson Machine's been a great greyhound, trained by Pat Lavis at Lismore. And really, on the clock, it's probably got a couple of lengths on Sudoku Rebel, who is the second fastest qualifier. Interesting to me, Charlie Sprite, who won his heat off the inside box, he actually went around at Lismore the night before. So less than 24 hours later, Charlie Sprite stepped out off the inside box and ran 23.22. And I know some trainers in the area have got a fair opinion of this greyhound. And as you say, without the box draw, we're really guessing. But Minson Machine has been a very, very smart greyhound for Pat Lavis. And if it draws fairly, it's probably going to start favouring in the race as well.
And the Stayers Cup, one of the other features, it is a best eight race over the 600 metres. Now, this has been won by some really good greyhounds in years gone by. He Knows, You Know, Zipping Lad. I don't know whether we'll see any greyhounds the calibre of that pair there on Wednesday night, but it should be a good race.
We had a bit of a precursor here at Grafton last Friday night where Nave beat Black Order. Black Order is prepared by Maxine Gleeson. It's been one of the stalwarts of the Grafton Greyhound Club for a long while. I know that the kennel have got a very, very big opinion of Black Order. They ran 35.17 in that race. So it'll be interesting to see who actually fronts up for the Stayers race at the best eight. But as I said, Black Order is a greyhound that's got plenty of ability, and there's plenty of people up here who want to tell me it's a greyhound on the way up. Also got the Shifty Schaefer distance race that was named after Daryl Schaefer, who's one of the area's leading trainers. Unfortunately, Daryl passed away a couple of years ago. We've got the Casey Memorial for 0-1 winners. Nengar Dole for Dennis Barnes. You probably heard from him as far as this greyhound is concerned. It ran 22.92. And just about Daryl Schaefer, his nickname was Shifty Schaefer. That's why the race is called that. Shifty Schaefer, the greyhound, actually also goes around in the maiden final. So I can assure you that if Shifty Schaefer, the greyhound, was to win, there'd be plenty of tears trackside on Sky Racing on Wednesday night.
Yeah, it will be an emotional night. Now, as I mentioned at the top, you have been enjoying the warmer weather up north. Your trackside at Albion Park on Thursday night for the Group 1 Winter Cup. Fabulous storm for Reggie Hazelgrove caused a boil over to claim the big one.
Yeah, first Group 1 victory for trainer Reg Hazelgrove in 45 years that he's been in the game. Popped the cork off the inside. Didn't like the greyhound with the draw. There's no doubting his ability to me, but as I think you agree as well, mate. He does want to get off when he gets pressured in that run of the first turn. Dyna Double run was terrific from box 5, missed the start, got squeezed out, but realistically, you can't take anything away from the winner, Fabulous Storm. He's been in all the big races in Queensland in the past 6 months. Reg Hazelgrove has managed his campaign absolutely perfectly. And from box 2, he just got the sweet run behind Kibo. Down the back straight, he was able to get underneath the dog and then hold off the challenge from Dyna Double One. So it was a big night for the locals. The first $100,000 to the winner greyhound race was staged there last Thursday night with the Group 1 Winner Cup. and they were wanting to give me plenty of stick about it being the precursor of the State of Origin on Wednesday night to me, and I told them they could have their moment in the sun for about 29.8 seconds.
We'll be back on Wednesday night. We'll be enjoying it. Now, listen, I just want to make mention of Pop the Cork. He did finish fifth in that race, but he had genuine excuses. He hit the running rail out of the home straight, and his run to finish fifth was truly incredible. I can't believe he beat a few runners home.
No, I spoke to Peter Rusi. Actually, I saw the dog. He had a big mark on just on the outside of his knee where he actually hit the rail. There's no doubting this greyhound's ability, and I wrote in a preview last week, if he does step cleanly, and I think Peter will start to look to step him up over middle distances, because he's just getting hammered in the 500-metre races. We saw it before. He ran 29.58 and 29.59, 1/100th and 2/100th outside the track record at the time at Albion Park. His run last Thursday night, I should say, it was nothing short of sensational. Unfortunately, that's going to happen to him a lot of times unless he draws his box and unless he gets the run in the race. And I just worry about the damage it can do to his confidence, always striking trouble in 500-metre races. I think when Peter steps him up to the 600s, I know there's not a lot of lucrative races around, but as far as the greyhound is concerned, I think it's probably the best thing for him.
Yeah, he does look like he'll be dynamite over the middle.
Oh, he'll be an absolute sensation. Look, we've got the McKenna Memorial on at Sandown Park on Thursday night. There's a couple of handy, 600-metre events. Obviously, you're stuck in between. You're either a sprinter or a stayer. But just for the greyhound himself, unless he draws, I believe his best box is box 8. So you're banking on him drawing boxes 6, 7, or 8 in big race finals, so that he's not getting hammered in the run to the first turn, or he's not underneath greyhounds wanting to shift off the track. Because, look, I've got no doubt he's one of the fastest greyhounds in the land. But unless it all goes his own way, and unless he gets everything to run to suit for him in the early stages, you just know he's going to strike trouble. And unfortunately, that was the case last Thursday night.
Really looking forward to it when he does step up in trip. Duke, enjoy Grafton on Wednesday night. You'll be covering all of the action for Sky Racing.
Yep, we're there live trackside. The first time we've ever actually done a live hosting from the venue. We're on Sky Racing 2 for the first 7 races. And then Sky Racing 1 picks up our coverage on from race 8 onwards. But as I said, it's the first time we've ever done it from Grafton Carnival. I know the locals are really looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to being trackside there. And as I said, we'll see a terrific night of greyhound racing there on Wednesday night.
Thanks, Duke.
Cheers, Timmy.
Sean, you're going to be in Grafton. Duke's going to be in Grafton. Dave Carlson is going to be in Grafton. What about the autographs? Won't they be flowing?
Well, I wonder whose we'll get. Good on you, Tim.
Now, just quickly, I wanted to make mention of Alan Deed just before we wrap up the show. Alan Deed, he won the Group 1 Adelaide Cup during 2014. He injured his back muscle on Thursday night at Sandown. He has been retired. George Daly did confirm earlier today he has been retired. He won over $238,000 in prize money. He's been a great performer over a few years, Alan Deed.
Good on you, Tim. Good to catch up. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Cozzy.